Josie Moon.
And welcome back to the Island Library.
Welcome back! Week five!
Week five, and because it's a multiple of five, which Jo so kindly took us through our five times tables last week, we have both read the same book, and that book is Field Notes on Love by Jennifer E. Smith.
So,
it's going to be really interesting because we've not obviously done this before, both talking about the same book. But the way we're going to play it is I'm going to read the summary from the back of the book. And then I think Jo's going to read her pitch and then I'm going to read mine. And then we'll both just chat about what we thought of it. Summary from the back of the book then. It's the perfect idea for a romantic week together, traveling across America by train. But then Hugo's girlfriend dumps him. Her parting gift, the tickets for their long planned last hurrah before uni trip. Only it's been booked under her name, non-transferable, no exceptions. When May stumbles across Hugo's ad for replacement Margaret Campbell, her full name, she's certain it's exactly the adventure she needs to get over being rejected from film school. A cross-country train trip with a stranger might not seem like the best idea, but what starts as a convenient arrangement soon turns into something more. When life outside the train catches up with May and Hugo, can they find a way to keep their feelings for each other from getting derailed?
Dun, dun, dun. My pitch is not at all the blurb of the back of the book. Mine seems like a completely different book, but here we go. Field Notes on Love. Hugo and May are both stuck. Both stuck in different ways, but stuck is still stuck. They don't know one another, but it doesn't stop them from getting on a train together from New York to California. It also doesn't stop them from falling in love and learning how to unstick themselves in the process.
That's so interesting. Okay, so we can comment on the different things that we each highlighted, or the same things that we each highlighted after. Anyway, I'm just going to read my bit. Hugo is one of the Surrey sextuplets, British, and not in the habit of taking the lead. May is American, an aspiring filmmaker who's just faced a massive disappointment. Under normal circumstances, they'd never have met, but when Hugo's girlfriend dumps him, he's left holding non-transferable trip tickets under her name, Margaret Campbell, which also happens to be May's full name. Sure, a cross-country train trip with a stranger sounds like a terrible idea, but it may be that these two strangers can become something much more, and they both have lessons to learn from each other. So obviously mine stuck much more closely to the blurb.
Yes.
But I think we both picked out something, which is one of the things that I found really interesting in the book, about the things that they have in common in terms of what they need to work out in their lives.
The most beautiful thing, so firstly, this story is a young adult romance contemporary book, so sort of on brand for a lot of the books that we've been reading, but it's fluffy. And I say this wrapped in the fluffiest blanket known to man, but it is such a fluffy book. One of my favourite core themes about this book was that they were both just really stuck. And I know I mentioned the word stuck about three times in my pitch. But it was just that they were so stuck. Neither of them could really escape the things that were staring them in the face. For Hugo, he's a member of this, I always pronounce it wrong, but sextuplets.
Something he's like that.
So he's like one of six babies born all at the same time. That poor woman.
Seriously.
Yeah, like, woo. And then May, as Laura pointed out in her pitch, has just been rejected from film school, which was a devastating blow to somebody who is very creative, and she pinned everything on this. But yeah, it's just, it was wild. It was a wild cross-country trip that we took with May and Hugo.
Absolutely. And
I feel like there needs to be justice for the people on the train.
Yeah,
because they're all relatively very friendly and stuff, but we all know that not everybody on the train's kind.
Yeah,
and these two little falling in love puppies just going up and down must have been very irritating for someone who just wants to chill on a train.
Yeah, just wants to have their trip.
Yeah,
leave me alone, stop pointing a camera in my face.
Yeah, because so when we share this discussion for the books, I think it's wise that this is a spoiler zone, because we're going to really go into the book
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be really hard between the two of us to avoid spoilers. Anyway, I mean, I don't stick to it. I'm the biggest supporter of it. But I struggle to stick with it. But on this train, May decides that she's going to make a new film, and she uses the people on the train as her storytelling device. So the reference to, I just want to chill on a train and not have a camera shoved in my face, is therefore explained.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things that I really loved about this book that it handled, and Hugo's race was one of them. He's biracial. I feel like that has a lot to do with how this millionaire slash billionaire really takes pity on them a little bit. I think it's that assumption that there's six of them and how are these people going to cope? And it's also like drumming up a bit of a celebrity story, which we'll probably go into a little bit more later on. But my favourite scene was actually when he's with May and they're at the restaurant, and the server just automatically assumes that Hugo is with this family of three who are black in front of him. And I just found that it really stood out to me, especially because at the time of filming this podcast episode, the Black Lives Matter movement is taking the world by storm, as it should be. And I just really found that when I read that, it really stood out to me. And I thought, I like that the author included that. I like that she didn't skim over it, because those things do happen. Those sort of things have happened when I've been out with my friends that are POCs. And I just thought that was a really interesting thing for the author to have in there and sort of and lead into Hugo opening up to May and trusting May with this, because she feels quite bad that this thing happens. And even worse when she finds out how often it does happen.
Yeah, I think because it would have been so easy for the author not to make reference to his race beyond obviously saying that that's his, you know, that's what he looks like, that's what his parents look like, and to just leave it at that as a kind of superficial thing. I think it's really important to have included something like that to demonstrate the way that, you know, people who have darker skin, their lives are affected by that on a daily basis, and to not completely gloss over that, even though it's a really fluffy book, it is incredibly light, but to still make the point of including that, I think is really important to make that effort.
Yeah, definitely. And it was something that I really appreciated her including in it. And like you said, it's a very fluffy book, and it is a moment that will stick out, but it's also, it doesn't take too much away from the soft candy floss fluff that we get throughout this novel. Obviously, also RIP grandma.
Yeah.
I really hoped that she didn't, and it really upset me that she did.
Yeah.
I think it was, unfortunately, I'm reading this at the same time. I read this, and then I've been sent another book that I have to read for something. And I was just very struck by the fact that in young adult books, if the parents are fine, the grandparents are always going through dramas. Like health drama. And it was only because I literally finished this book that we're talking about and then started this other book, which I can't mention, I was literally like, wait, what is happening to all the grandparents in young adult books? Why are they all painstakingly going through bare stuff?
Yeah.
But I really hoped that she would pull through, because I just feel like she was that. I think May needed her a lot, if that makes sense. I feel like she's obviously also the person that was very, do it, May, fall in love, May.
Yeah.
And then she was just all like, croaked it in the end.
Yeah.
Laura's got a very sad face now.
I think it makes an important element, though, of that kind of reminder of their real lives while they're off gallivanting about on the train interviewing strangers. But yeah, it was definitely sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. I also thought the way in which the author handled the first episode really well, in which a lot of teenagers would feel that like iffy pull as, do I go home? Because this might be the last chance that I see her. But my parents are telling me to continue. But I'm also doing that thing that happens in a lot of young adult books, and I'm madly lying to my parents.
Yeah, okay, so actually, can we hone in on that one for just a sec? So
of course we can.
I I love May's dads. I thought they were fab. Very sweet. And May just completely lies to them and says, not even, I don't know, like, just says that she's going off on this trip with, well, she says she's doing it with her roommate, the girl who's going to be her roommate at college.
Yeah.
So that creates a very specific impression of this trip. You know, these are two people who are about to be sharing a space for the next X many years. I don't really know how they handle room allocations US colleges.
Yeah.
So definitely a girl of the same age. They've got something in common to begin with. It's going to be something that parents might feel a bit like, oh, okay, you're going off with a complete stranger, but hey, you're going to be living together soon anyway, so I guess it makes sense. When actually what she's doing is meeting up with this guy that she's never met, knows nothing about.
Could be a murderer.
Could be a murderer. They have quite a fun conversation to that effect.
They do make a lot of jokes out of it. But also this book could have quickly changed from young adult romance contemporary to young adult thriller on the train.
There is a reason that one of the first rules that you learn from your parents as a kid growing up with the internet is never meet anybody off the internet.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You don't, as a kid, that's one of the things that was drummed into me.
I mean, and I feel like she's very blasé about it as well. Like, she's like, yeah, I know, I feel really bad about lying to my parents. Like, okay, yeah, I get the guilt is really bad, but what about the fact that you're literally meeting a murderer?
And she doesn't fess up. There are several points at which she could have said, okay, this is the deal, but I'm here now, he's actually really nice, like, no issue. But no, because she knows that they would be furious and terrified for her, so she doesn't say anything. And
yeah.
And then when eventually it comes out, it's just like, oh, well, it all worked out.
Yeah.
We talked, I think, a couple of episodes back about how our parents were pretty chill with us. And
yeah,
they were. But if I had pulled something like that, I think they would have been fuming.
I think I would have been 6 feet under, like, not even being over the top. I literally think my mum would have killed me. Because it's, right, the first, I feel like there's a multiple layers to the situation as well. Right, because even, so Hugo, for example, the complete flip side of the coin, he's a British boy going out with this hotsy-totsy Surrey girl who I don't like.
Like a description that made me think that you might be really fond of her.
But it was more that at this point, why are you going by your full name? Especially because we know the other character's called May, and I'm just like, oh, of course you go by the full name. She could have been what?
Maggie.
She could have been anything. But she wasn't. So anyways, I get it. She's going to university in America. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know many people that went to university in a different country. So that's also like a British phenomenon anyway. I know of two people in my entire life and they weren't in my school year or uni year. And they were friends of friends and they had football scholarships. It's a completely different thing. But anyway, getting off the point here. Hugo's parents are so chill about him just flying to New York with this girlfriend. And then they're going on a train journey across America when he sounds, well, on his mum's blog, he's described as Paddington Bear who loses everything. And she's just like, yeah, cool. Go on this. Go fly over to New York and then get on this train and have a great old time. And then when he says, oh, I'm going to go alone, that's when they're like, whoa, let's pump the brakes. How could you do this alone? Hugo. Like, I was just a bit like, you are fine with his weirdo girlfriend taking it, but now he's going, oh, no.
I think they do make the point, the author makes the point that, or rather, Hugo comments on the fact that his family really liked Margaret. So, anyone's called Margaret, though. But
yes, it's not a name that I commonly hear.
I just said that, and then I thought, how many Margarets have I ever known? None.
If you're a Margaret listening to this podcast, please let us know so we can tally up how many Margarets there are.
Yeah.
Because the only Margaret I knew other than this book was Maggie Smith.
Yeah.
Dame Maggie Smith. Bam! Maggie Smith!
Where were we? Yeah, I think they sort of trusted her to keep him from completely crumbling out there.
But I don't know about you, but 18-year-old Joe would not have been flying next country. My mum is chill. Yeah. She's chill. She's like, yeah, go to skate for the weekend. She's not go to America and train across the country. Because it's not even just the flight. even without the author later on telling us that the signal's really spotty on this train, you will automatically assume, even from being on trains in the UK and being when I was driving in America, your signal's spotty. They're not just like driving from Derby to Birmingham, they're going like across the country. It's wild.
It is.
And they're 18.
I'm trying to think, because my brother did a road trip in America with his friends, and I don't think it was that long ago. I mean, I don't know what time is, so but he was definitely older than 18 is my point. And even so, and my brother's a pretty sensible guy, but when we were growing up, he kind of had a reputation as the scatty one.
Yeah.
So there were definitely moments where my mum and I were like, is he going to be okay?
Yeah.
And
I also think as well, because Hugo's situation is like no other sibling situation, in the fact that they're all the same age, literally split by minutes. They all like live on top of one another. And five of them really want to be together for the rest of their lives. And then Hugo's just like, nah, bro. gonna go to America and figure myself out, which all hell Hugo for that, because that's such a brave move.
Sure.
But all I mean is it's not, it doesn't sound like out of his family he's all that popular, in a sense. He does make mention to it a little bit, but it's not like he's, you know, traveled previously. He's said he's never been out of Surrey. And I was just like,
that's a big thing for
it was a big thing never... like take the kid to London, let him figure himself out and see if he's all right down there, because
he could go on a little trip to Europe as a start. Like, maybe try France. France is a whole other country, but it's not
New York. I just found it, and then obviously May lives in New York, so she's kind of cool because she's just living there. And it's not that I think, oh, Hugo shouldn't have gone. I just found that element tricky for me as a person, thinking, hey, what would I have done as 18? And thinking of myself in another 18 years, thinking about my own, not that I'm having a baby right now, but I just mean like figuratively, thinking of myself in 18 years' time, thinking, would I let my 18-year-old? And I'd be like, no, because of murderers, especially because he's going on his own. They were more chill with him going with Margaret.
Yeah.
But then when he's going on their own, they are a bit like, oh, I don't know. But like, no one's going, no.
Yeah, no one's saying, actually, seriously, reconsider this.
Yeah. And I was just like, that's so odd. You've said that he literally is in this bubble. Like this. This is him.
Yeah.
And like, now he's just over there. You just let him go. It just baffled me. I was just like, whoa. And then May's lying. Because, I mean, what is a young adult book without lies?
Absolutely.
But, I mean, quoting May's dad, it all worked out in the end. I mean, it did. No one got stabbed. So it's all good.
But how about the ongoing lying situation? Do we not want to address that? I mean...
What about the hundreds of dollars May is out because Hugo lost his wallet?
Classic Hugo.
Oh, banner.
And I can't even believe that. So he's been in this other country for less than 24 hours and he's had to ring his mum to be like, hey, I already lost my wallet, soz.
Yeah.
And of course, she thinks that he's out there on his own.
Doesn't bat an eyelid.
That was really weird. That was so weird. Because having already said that she was worried, and then he's just proven her right. And as far as she knows, he doesn't have anybody out there to rely on. And he's like, oh, I made a friend on the train. They're lending me some money. What? And how many questions are there about this friend? None that I recall. There's no, is this friend
going to continue
sticking with you? Are you following the same journey? How well do you know this person? Can you trust them? Are you safe? No. Just, oh... God, Hugo, standard. Well, I guess I'll send you a new credit card.
Also, right. I'm not here to punch potholes, right? Because when you listen to the end of this, you'll be very surprised at the potholes that I'm creating for myself here. But I have lost a card in the past. And I will tell you, it takes 7 to 10 business days to get a new credit card sent to you when I've lost mine. But not only does it take 7 to 10 days, but Hugo's mum has to then send it internationally to another hotel. And when it doesn't reach said hotel, she asks for another card to meet him at the next hotel. And I was just like, right, we need details of his banking situation because I need to switch.
Seriously.
That is some rapid printing of cards going off.
That and is I need that in my life. Beyond.
Do you know what I mean? Who is she to get that? Is she the queen? Is this what we're finding out? Is Hugo Flat twist.
He's actually royalty. You know when Americans are like, oh, you're British. Do you know the queen? She is the queen.
Yeah. Hugo's mum's the queen who runs a blog. But yeah, there's not even a follow-up. He mentions this friend once.
Baffling.
And then, like, at no point does his mum go, are you still with that friend then?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing. Like, what is your friend, a drug dealer? Like, nothing. Doesn't even bat an eyelid. Just borrows $200 off this guy and he's just like, see you later, pal. Yeah, see you in a bit, mate. Also, the other thing is that they've got to be times when they use the wrong words. Do you know, so if I said to you, say you're American, and I said to you, oh, I really want some French fries. Or no, if I said I really want some chips, you'd throw me a packet of the crisps.
I would. I would be wrong to do so, but that's what I would do if I were American.
Yeah. But there's none of that, which I found bizarre. They don't misinterpret each other at any point, which I think would be really cute and quite funny because they do have a very bantery relationship.
Yeah,
and there are loads of times like, oh, I really want some sweets. And she's just like, what? And he's like, oh, you know, like candy. And then she like brings him back a chocolate bar because they umbrella term candy. Not hating on you Americans, if you're listening. I love your country. But I just mean like... We're very specific over here in what we require.
Mm.
And if I said sweets, you're throwing me a bag of Skittles.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the snack trifecta, chocolate, sweets, crisps. And you can't just lump chocolate and sweets together as candy, and you can't be calling crisps chips.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can if you're American. That's your thing. Whatever, you do you.
You would get the wrong thing here.
You'd be incorrect over here.
Yeah. Also, right.
Oh, no, okay, you go.
Call me ignorant, I'm just not very well versed in cross-country travel. Would they not stay on the same train, or do they have to keep getting off?
Well, I think it depends how you're doing it. It sounds like the trip he'd planned was getting off at several places to see the sights and then getting on a new train. You can just take a single train
The
whole way if you're just trying to get from A to B, but if you're trying to see different places, then you want to get off and on.
Just for clarification, I was just a bit... They get off and on a lot. Because it sounded like one of those, you know, like the Euro train. It sounds, in my head, very like that. You sit down, you can have a room, you can sleep in it, and you can have some food. But it just seemed like every train they got on was like that. Now, if you... And obviously, I've never really been on a train in America, so I don't really know what the...
I'm guessing they're like specific cross-country trains for traveling long distances, and that's why they are set up like that. But I've not been, so I don't really know.
If this podcast is really successful, I think we should do one. Maybe not as far, not New York to California, but maybe like Derby to Birmingham.
let's take an overnight train.
It's like 40 minutes.
Cross-country train if you want to come visit me down in Brighton.
There we go. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked, just to bring us back to the book again, if that's okay.
Of course, yeah. You know what? No. No. Let's finally strip on podcast time. No, please go ahead.
I liked Hugo's family and his siblings. I think... Obviously, when you're trying to make five siblings all feel distinct, it's going to be tricky. I think the author did as good a job as you could expect. You've obviously got, I'm going to forget all of their names. Alfie is the funny one. One of his sisters is kind of a more supportive one. And he's got, there's the older brother whose name I have completely forgotten, who's the one who's going to be really devastated. They all think that Hugo doesn't want to stay with them because he's kind of trying to keep...
Is that George?
That could be it, George. I mean, I feel like I'm just ruining my own point by saying I can't remember their names, but that is because I finished reading this almost a week ago. Yeah, I thought they were really sweet. I liked the group chat thing that they had going, where they'd also break off into little individual chats to make...
I loved the group chat. Yeah.
I thought that was great. And... Yeah, I think the author did a good job at making them feel like five distinct people, even though they didn't get equal emphasis within the plot, because there just isn't space for that many characters who are also not present physically for 90% of the story.
So there's Poppy, Alfie, Isla, Oscar, and George.
Yeah.
And Hugo. But yes, I did love that. And I also loved that it was one of those threads that really got sorted. The family did come on board, because there's a whole thing with Hugo when he first mentions that he might not want to go to university. And he thinks his family are going to be really upset. And they express some form of disappointment, but they all come on board. Well, most of them are on board anyway. They mostly get it, but they're a bit worried about one of them, which I think is George.
We kind of haven't really gone into the reason for that as well, though, because part of them being the Surrey Six, as they're sometimes called, and Joe mentioned it earlier with this sort of millionaire or whatever who's taken an interest, but they've been given a lot of things for free, or sort of like as publicity stunts. And one of those things, arguably the biggest, is that they've all got scholarships to the local university, with the proviso being that they all go, as far as they know. So when Hugo starts to tentatively say, oh, I don't know if I really want to go anymore, when Hugo starts to wonder if he wants to go anymore, they're worried. The ones that he's talking, because he's not talking to all of them because he doesn't want to freak them all out. It's really Alfie that he's having the main conversation with. Alfie, I think, raises the question, will that affect, you know, will they want to give a scholarship to 5 out of 6? So that's part of it. It's kind of a twofold thing. It's partly he's worried that it's going to look like he's deserting them, or that he doesn't want to be part of them anymore. And it's also the far more pragmatic concern that is this going to utterly wreck their university plans because they are depending on this scholarship.
Yeah. The other thing that's really quite cool about all of this is that the other dynamic that I think really pushes Hugo to make his decision to not go is the fact that he learns that he has to share a room with one of his siblings, which I think he was either quite excited to have the independence of his own room because he's never had his own room.
Yeah.
And the other aspect of it being that he wanted to meet somebody else. He don't really know which side of the fence he's on because it's not really mentioned per se. But I think there's that. And then also his siblings, like, sort of not tease him about it, but tease George, who they think is going to be the most upset about it, which is the bit that really made me giggle, because they were basically teasing George at Hugo's expense.
Yeah.
And then they make this sort of, one of them makes this point that Alfie was the last person to share a room with Hugo, and now he's gone off them. And it's all like in good spirit, but it's also really shows the dynamic of each of their personalities like perfectly, because George is the, no, we're family, we should stick together. Alfie's, well, I think he played football as well, didn't he? He's like the cool brother, I assume. And then like,
he's the lad.
He's the full lad one.
Alfie the lad.
I just think that it was just really clever that in these moments of just May and Hugo figuring themselves out, you get these moments where, like you said earlier, their real life's creeping and remind you that they've still got something to go home to in air quotes, because, you know, RIP Nan. Just bringing it full circle. No, I do feel bad for the Nan, but her Nan is like also an exceptional person. It feels like it's very sad, obviously, but I really liked it that for once we got to see a grandma that's like sort of lived a really wild life.
Yeah.
She also fell in love on a train like years and years ago, which May beautifully makes a point to mention in, I won't completely spoil the ending at least. We spoiled the middle of the book, but we'll say the ending.
I don't know why we bother at this point, because anybody who's put off by spoilers already knows the vast majority, but fair enough.
Yeah, okay. So she makes the new film. There you go, guys. Plot twist.
The thing is, she's been planning to do that the whole time. That's not even a spoiler. That's just part of the story that she wants to do.
I feel like we just need to put that spoilers are now going to be in our podcast. I feel like that the first episode where we're like, there's going to be no spoilers, we're going to be PG. No, lies, Joe's on the podcast.
There will be spoilers, there may be swearing. We make no promises.
I have tried so hard to not swear.
Sandra Pope will be who enter here.
I think I said sugar sticks like an episode ago, and like you sent me hit to listen to, and I was like, oh, that's what I wanted to say, a different word. Anyway, oh, we're very giggly, so this is what you get to look forward to when we read the same book. But Choice is a very beautiful film with all the people on the train that she's met, and there she asks them the same questions, which I thought was really, really nice, because then the answers we do get are very beautiful. From a lot of the people. But then she interviews Hugo and her face just lights up. But at the beginning of the video, she says, such and such years ago, my grandma fell in love on a train and then I did too. And I was just like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. That was Alfie the... Yeah, that was Alfie the light. Oh, God, this is going to be an annoying for you to edit.
It's going to be a blast. It's fine.
I'm just trying to have a look and make sure I've not missed anything in any of my notes, because I know I mentioned quite a few like things that got me a little bit twisted, but for the most part of this book, it was a thoroughly enjoyable read that I literally devoured in like 2 days.
Yeah, I read it very quickly.
And there was that point where you could feel the book amping up in the last like quarter, and I literally, it was like way past my bedtime, and I was literally like, nope, gotta finish it. And then when I did, I felt so content.
Yeah, because we referenced this early on, but I feel like we haven't fully kind of connected the dots as we've been talking. The fact that, because you referenced the fact that they're both stuck. So for Hugo, his thing is the stuff that we've talked about his university and the sort of the next steps of his life, and the fact that he doesn't want to take them directly in step with his siblings. He wants to be able to do his own thing, but he has never tried to express that. He doesn't know what he'd want to do instead, so that's where his trouble comes in. He doesn't know what he would do instead, and he feels weird about trying to assert his individuality in that way. May, we reference the fact that she has been rejected from film school. She's been accepted to the school but onto a different course, so she really wants to transfer like ASAP, but she feels like she put together something she was really proud of and it was turned down, and she's not sure why. And she gets sort of a note on it, the sort of feedback from a guy that she is seeing in a very casual way at the start of the book. And he says,
for day.
I mean, you may say that. I couldn't possibly comment.
That is definitely what they were.
Clearly.
100%.
That's the vibe.
Yeah, that was so, Alfie the lad shouting, it wasn't me.
Of course, yeah. Alfie, could you just keep your voice down, because we're actually recording right now.
Yeah, Alfie, shush.
God, Alfie. Yeah, so this guy that she's seeing makes the comment that it's not very personal, which it sort of stings her a bit, and she doesn't reject it out of hand, but it doesn't totally ring true for her either. But as time goes on, it becomes more and more clear that she is not a person who opens herself up. It's kind of her, that's the thing where she's stuck. And for some people that's fine, but for her it is standing in the way of her making her art. So
yeah,
she does need to figure out how to overcome that. And that's the issue that she brings. And it's so lovely the way that these two characters, who don't know each other at all at the start of the book, turn out to be exactly what each other needs.
Yeah.
He helps her to learn how to open up, to feel comfortable doing that, and finally get to the place where she feels like she can really put herself into her work. She gives him the confidence to assert himself and speak up for his wants and his needs, and how to do that in a compelling enough way that he can actually get what he wants and get some measure of freedom. So that was really
boom. That was beautifully said as well. No, that is all very, very true. Because the thing that I think strikes me as odd about the comment about it not being very personal is because it's a piece about her life, just not with her in it. And I think it hits her really hard, because for her, she's put it out there that she's got two dads, and she thinks that that's going to be enough, and it's not. And I think she doesn't come to realise that, because there's this horrible scene and it's happening, and you're literally like, no, no. Literally, he's just going, no! Because Hugo watches the first 15 seconds of it, completely betrays her trust. And I think also, I know this sounds horrible, I think she needed to be betrayed. I think because she'd like then got herself into a little bit of a position where she'd shown her dad's, and then she's shown this boy who then said, and he is a boy, he's a boy, this boy who then said it's not very personal. And then this person that she's falling for then sees her art that she now is tainted for her. Even if she tells herself that she enjoys it, we all know what that feeling's like because we're writers. So when someone gives us, and not even like constructive feedback, but just crap stick feedback, just that the feedback that makes you just think, well, why have I even bothered?
We've all had that moment, haven't we, where we've shown something to someone and they've responded in a way that basically just makes you feel like, oh, well, I may as well just chuck that.
Yeah, because it's not... There was no counter, and there was no counterpoint to his statement, which I think is what hurt her the most. He was like, yeah, it's good, but it's just, but it's not personal, is it? And she's just like, what? You're kidding me. It's about my life. And he's like, yeah, I know, but that's because I know you. And it's also, it hurts. And I don't think she really acknowledges how much it hurts until she gets betrayed. I think then the whole situation then comes full circle for her.
Yeah.
I think she can like really get over it because the sting is now a different sting because Hugo's seen it as well.
Yeah.
Because it's that that makes her interview him, isn't it, in the end?
Yeah, no, she hasn't interviewed him before that. It's only after they reconcile, after he apologises.
Well, it was a beautiful apology.
It was a beautiful apology. And he did mess up. We can't overlook, as much as she needed to be told by somebody who cares about her.
He crossed a line.
He knew. She had explicitly said, I don't want you to see this. And he couldn't help himself.
No. He put his hand in the cookie jar, got a crumb, realised his mistake and backed out. But he'd still done it. His hand still went in the jar. And that wasn't a euphemism either. It was just a video. I realise that that term has now been coined by too many people. But I just meant it in the literal way and not the, yeah. Anyway, moving swiftly on from that one, the other thing that I really liked about just speaking on Hugo's apology was just how him as a character was really soft on the edges. And I think we spoke a couple of podcasts ago where it's really hard to get a young adult male character who's very soft and in touch with their feelings and can be emotional. And he is emotional.
Yeah, I think there are... I mean, I don't know... I think things are moving in a good direction where we're getting more diversity of male characters who are a bit more in touch with their feelings, who are a bit more. But there is a tendency to default to, as a sort of male protagonist, that hard-edged snark. And it was really nice to see Hugo. He's got humour, but it's a very gentle humour.
Yeah, you could tell that if he met me or you, he wouldn't know how to take us for like a good... Because he wouldn't know if he'd be like... And we're like, oh, we're joking. And he's like, oh, okay. I feel like he wouldn't get dry humour as well because he's just so soft on the edges. But I thought that was so beautiful because May's so hard.
Mm.
And I just feel like what you said, they're what each other needed. But I really needed Hugo. I really just needed him as a character. And I needed that apology that he said because I just thought it's not even like movie quotable, but it's just honest. And I feel like so many of the times when you're reading an apology in a book, it does feel like that very scripted movie apology that's not authentic. But this did feel like a very authentic, like, look, across the line. And I think that's why she was able to forgive him, is because it did come from somewhere real. I don't know what word I was going to say generic, but generic's not the word I wanted.
Were you going for genuine?
Yes, I was. Genuine. Thank you.
It's all right.
At least you're here. I don't know where I am. The team. I'm literally hyper in my office. I just bounced it off the walls.
Is there anything else that we need to say about this book?
No, I do think we've covered everything.
Cool. So in that case, is it time to talk ratings?
Yes.
How many shells would you give to this book?
So I would give it 4.5. I was so close to really loving it. Just the parental thing was the It wasn't a huge thing that really bothered me, but it just sits at the back of my mind a little bit. So I'm going to give it a strong 4.5.
Okay.
What about yourself?
I would give it a 4. I did really like it. I had a great time reading it. I very much needed something light and fluffy, and this book absolutely delivered. It didn't... While there were lots of individual things I liked about it, it didn't astonish me. I was not completely blown away by it. So, yeah, that's why I didn't stray towards closer to 5 for me. It was a solid book. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know if I'd revisit it.
So, would you take it to your island library?
I wouldn't, no. I almost feel like maybe I should, because I feel like on the island, it would be nice to have something so fluffy. But I'm going to hold out for something that delivers the same feeling of lightness, but with more complexity behind it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. No, I wouldn't take it to the island. Similarly, for the same reasons as why I couldn't rate it a 5, I absolutely loved this. I am all for this genre of book. I love a good meet cute, and then I love a love story that just untangles itself. They are literally my bread and butter. But the same as you, you knew what was going to happen. And I really hoped, like I said about Grandma, that Grandma was going to, because I feel like that would have been different.
Right, okay.
And I feel like there were just so many elements of it that I just, if I'm going to sit on an island for the rest of my life with these 10 books, I want the books to challenge me in a way.
Yeah.
And I just found that this book was such a beautiful, easy read, and that doesn't take it away from the story. I thoroughly enjoyed it enough to give it a 4.5. I just find that it would be sat there and I would probably read a chapter or two of it, but then never finish it again, because I know what's going to happen. It's not going to surprise me. I'm not going to pick up any new bits of information on the way.
And there's no, you know, the fact that everything comes together so neatly is lovely. It's part of what made it so much fun. But also, there is, if you try to go back to that, there is a sense of anticlimax, I think. You know, it's lovely the first time when you're at a point, because we'd read quite a few heavy books in a row, and so it was so nice to read something where everything just came together and you felt like, ah, oh, there we go, sort of happily ever after without quite going there. But I think if we're limiting ourselves to 10 books, you want something that's got a bit more bite to the end.
And I also feel like, because the book that's currently sat on my shelf is in 5 years, and that was, it came together in a very messy way and it was still beautiful but in its own way. But I feel like when I reread that, I'm gonna pick new things up. There's gonna be plenty of things that I haven't noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with this, I definitely think I already know everything I need to know.
Sure, that makes sense.
So yeah. But it was a thoroughly enjoyable book. I'm so glad that we got a chance to read it together.
Yeah, me too. That was fun.
Yeah. And hyper.
Yeah.
We were really on one this time.
What are you reading next week? Do you know?
So I have just got a new collection of books. And I think I'm going to read a book by Sally Rooney. But I'm not going to read Normal People. I'm going to read Conversations with Friends.
I have read that.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Fair enough. What about
yourself?
So I've just started Pride by, Ibi Zoboi. So I've just started Pride, which is kind of a retelling of Pride and Prejudice. So I don't know if I'll talk about that or another book that I ordered that just came, Clap When You Land. So it's one of those, and I don't
Mine's
know which
the same
one.
Actually, because I I'll have be Queenie about. That's just come as well.
I've read that too.
All right, you've read everything.
I haven't read everything. I really like hearing you talk about books that I've read, so I'm quite excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those two, because Queenie I want to read anyway. Because I'm finding, I don't know if you're doing this, that I'm reading a book for this podcast, but I finish it and then I'm starting another book. And then I have to remind myself about the book that I need for this podcast. So
same.
I might read them both and then see which one I want to bring. I might do that way. Because, yeah, just throw it all up in the air. I mean, we've done 5 episodes now. Like, who? Sugar just, the rules.
Just get a bit crazy.
Yeah, let's get wild.
Okay.
Alfie's back. The Alfie, back.
Do you have a random question?
I don't, because I feel like random questions are for the weeks where we don't have the same book. It's going to keep it fun and new. But I will ask what you're up to next week.
Prepping for my move, which happens at the end of this month. So sort of gearing up for, along with work, of course. How about yourself?
Yeah. Editing the monstrosity that is my book. I say monstrosity, it's not that bad, but I finished part one, I think. I don't feel completely satisfied that I finished part one, and I don't know why. I don't know if that's just the little thing in the back of my brain that tells me that I'm not. So I'm on to part two out of three, so we're making good headway, because I do love the number three.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm all about the threes. I'm all about the threes, but the threes. And then just the usual, you know, work hard, play hard. And by play hard, I mean play Animal Crossings.
Oh, yes. I bought so many turnips this morning.
Yeah, I missed the turnip.
Gosh, damn. On that note, I guess we can call it a day.
Thank you so much once again. It's been so lovely to talk to you about books.
It's been lovely talking to you. Always a pleasure.
And I will see you next week, because now this is the weekly podcast. We have made the decision.
We have. So see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.